Diving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We're scrubbing in.
That is the sound of a spring-sprung, chickadee, healthy Becca Tilley sitting next to me.
Yes, I am feeling so much better than the last time we recorded a podcast, which we weren't together.
Which I didn't like. I'm just going to say it from now on. I don't like being apart.
Yeah, well, yeah, I didn't like it either, but, you know, we did what we had to do.
No, I know, of course, safety first. I'm just saying, remember when you had this, like, idea to move to Nashville?
Okay, that was simply a thought.
Right, I'm just saying. I know you just bought a house, so you're not going to, but yeah. In moments where you have those ideas, let's just remember these times.
Yeah, yeah, okay. It's much better.
Yeah.
Before we get into today's podcast, I did want to address last week's podcast because so we recorded that on a Friday and then it came out on a Monday. And when it came out, I had a lot of messages and comments about how I handled the conversation. And I just wanted to apologize because I feel like at first I was reading the comments and messages and I felt a little bit defensive, like, what is going on? And I listened back and I totally understood where everyone's frustration came from because I talked about COVID and my poor, like, irresponsible decision to not wear a mask, knowing I wasn't vaccinated and choosing not to wear a mask to something where there was like a ton of people. And I was very casual about that conversation and how I spoke about it. So I just wanted to say I'm sorry because it's a very serious thing that's happening and there are people who have lost loved ones and really struggled with it. And I think I was totally ignorant to the fact that just because my experience hadn't been this like horrible thing, you know, as far as like what my body went through, it kind of, I think it was a very disrespectful way of how I talked about it for people who have had a very hard time with it and just in general, what COVID has been like for so many people. So I wanted to say sorry. I had a really eye-opening. A very emotional week. And I had a lot of hard conversations with not only people like in my life that I care about, but a lot of people, you know, through the scrubbing and community. And I'm sorry. I've dealt with a lot of guilt and regret and wish I could go back and do things differently. But, you know, now it's kind of about moving forward and doing it better. And so I wanted to say that I'm sorry for how I handled it because I was telling one person, like, there's always going to be topics where I could handle it better and say it better and do it better. But that's part of this job, you know, is like having a platform and doing it responsibly. And sometimes
I wanted to tell you, like, I'm not saying come to your defense in any way, but like you also, the way that you talk sometimes, you just are very like laid back and chill. And so I think that also comes across, you know, and like you were also sick, so you were even more laid back and chill than you usually are. So mm-hmm. It may have come across in a certain way that I don't think that you intended it to. And as your best friend, like, you know, I know you weren't. Yes, it was irresponsible to go to a venue with a lot of people without a mask on.
Yeah.
It's not like you didn't take this pandemic seriously, you know, like you did take it seriously. And that was one time where you just kind of, and to be fair, like, I think at that point, I know I was vaccinated and I felt like I had superhuman powers because the numbers were going down and everything felt like it was opening up and we were all a little looser with stuff. And so I know you had such a hard week and like, it killed me to see you that way. And it crushed me. And like, I just know, you know, like you do take things like, I don't know. I know you're taking it very hard and you're being hard on yourself and we love you. And I don't think it has any reflection of just, nobody thinks you're a bad person. You made a mistake and it's okay. You're going to fix it.
Right. Yeah. So I just wanted to address that and say, just kind of acknowledge people and their comments. And I hear you. I heard you. And yeah, so I, you know, sometimes you lead with example and sometimes you are the example. And in this case, I was an example of what not to do. And, you know, sometimes this platform that we have is, there's a lot of pressure. And I think it's, you know, listening to people and taking accountability and responsibility is, you know, kind of where you grow. So, you know, there were some comments that I just, it really made me think and reflect. And I'm thankful for the people who approached it in a way that we were able to have a conversation with each other. And so, yeah, I just wanted to talk about that before we talked about, you know, everything else that we have today.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I love you too.
I know, but I just, you know, I know you were going through a lot and, you know, it's a lot. And I think that there's a lot of, you know, heat on both ends of it. Mm-hmm. And it's really weird because I get it from both ends. Like, I have the people who, you know, I've gotten really nasty messages in my DMs like, oh, why are you doing this? And you're not even vaccinated and da da da. And I'm like, first of all, I am vaccinated. Mm-hmm. You just don't know that. Mm-hmm. And how dare you like come at me in such a nasty way mm-hmm. when you don't even know, you know? Yeah. And so I don't know. I just think everybody is just heated in mm-hmm. all aspects. And I understand it's like we're going through a pandemic and it's been really rough. And I think everybody's just.
Yeah, everyone's scared and frustrated. And I think we've kind of forgotten how to be able to have conversations with each other. Like everyone just gets so angry and everyone has the right. I mean, whatever you're feeling right now is totally valid, but yeah, I just hope that I think there's a way that you can reach people and help, you know, if we could just hear each other and sometimes listen, I think that's a big part of it. So anyways, I'm feeling better. I'm really grateful. Like I had a very, like I'm hearing other people's experiences, like people in my life and hearing the things that they're still struggling with. Like I got really, really lucky. I can't taste or smell. And that's the only thing that I'm still still like lingering, but I'll take that over. I'm still eating so much. It's the weirdest thing. I haven't slowed down on my unhealthy food intake. I'll tell you that much. So anyways, what happened for you this week?
No, like we love you and, I just love you. That's all.
I love you too.
I felt so bad because when all this was going down, I was like, I was on vacation last week. And so I've been trying to put my phone down more and just kind of be, and so when Becca wrote me and was like really going through it, I felt bad because I hadn't seen any of these comments, you know, and I was like, it's okay. It's okay. Like, you know, trying to give my Tanya talk. And then like a couple of days went by and I started seeing everything and I was just like, oh man, yeah, this would really sting. And yeah, so
I stopped. I mean, I saw them initially, like the first couple of days after the podcast came out and read a bunch of them. And then I had to basically stop looking at everything because it was all kind of a repetitive, you know, it was a repetitive sentiment of how people felt, and which was they were disappointed. It was kind of the same comment, just from different people and said in different ways, but I just had to stop. You know, I didn't feel like I was making myself, I was very like unforgiving towards myself.
Yeah, we all make mistakes. It's okay, but we're back and we have fun on this podcast.
Yeah,
that's what we're here for, to have fun and laugh and have girl talk.
I mean, Tanya and I went on vacation together last week. We should probably mention that at some point.
Yeah, I heard you. I mean, it was the most random run-in.
Most random freaking run-in ever. I do want to talk about that. And then I also want to tell you about my dinner date with Nancy Spielberg, because it was like a full circle moment. And it was just like so epic.
Oh, yeah. That was a really cool story.
Yeah. And it just like it was like it, there's like a beginning, middle and end. And it really just came together in a really beautiful way.
Yeah.
But last week I took off. And so I went for the first time I went on vacation with my boy with Red Star and his like entire family. So it was, you know, his parents, his family, his brother's family, and then like, because his brother was turning 40.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly. I like that when it's so funny when I'm on vacation, I don't know days. Like, right. I don't know dates. I don't know what day of the week it is. I have like no idea, like no concept of anything, which is actually pretty cool. I've never really been like that before. I've been so like dialed in. And so the first day, I think it was the first day we get there and we walk to the pool and there's like a family pool and like an adult pool. So we go to the family pool and I'm there all day. So like we're there from probably like 2 p.m. and we left the pool at like 6. So I'm there for like solid 4 hours and it's the size of a pool. So it's not that big, right? Mm-hmm. I'm walking out. Who do I see flip-flopping around in the pool with his kids?
None other than...
our very own Mark.
Right. So here's my perspective on it. I'm in the pool with my kids and my wife, and they have these giant beach balls there that are like massive. I don't even know how to describe them, but they're huge. And we're playing the game where you try to keep the beach ball in the air as many times as you can as you bat it back and forth between each other. And as we're doing this and counting and getting to a very high number, I hear Mark. And I'm like, nope, that cannot be for me. I'm just going to keep playing the game because there's no way that person is talking to me. And then it's closer. Mark. And I look up and there's Tanya Rad. And it's all weird because it's worlds colliding.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't imagine her being here. But also, this is the kids' pool. This is the family pool. Why is Tanya at the family pool when there's an adult pool that any reasonable adult will go to? Because they're screaming kids in this pool all day long.
All day long.
And there she is. And sure enough, there are kids there too. And the whole family and everybody's there.
Yeah. But this is the best part. And so earlier, maybe like, let's see, I was leaving at the pool at 6. So earlier by the pool, it was like 4 o'clock. I see our old boss from the morning show there with her kids. And so I was like, what? I see her. I say hi. I introduce, you know, my boyfriend, his family. And I was like, oh my gosh, like we used to work together 5 years ago on the morning show. This is so crazy, blah, blah, blah. So anyways, she goes back with her family. I'm like chit-chatting with mine. And then we're like leaving. And then we see Mark and Robbie just literally goes, you're kidding. Because we had already seen somebody else, yeah. You know? And so he's like, no way Mark is here. And it was just so weird. And also that the hotel is it's very quaint. Like there's not many places to go. So you're going to run into people all the time. And so like we were walking back to our room the next night after dinner, we ran into Mark and his family. We went to go get ice cream the following night. We ran into Mark and his family. We took a nice little photo.
Well, that was nice. And there was also the nice moment where you and Red Star and my daughters were playing the keep the ball in the air game in the pool. That was pretty cool.
Oh yeah. So then we were in the pool and I saw that they were playing with each other, just the two of them. And so I was like, come on, let's like play with these are Mark's girls. And so we were playing keep the ball in the air. We got to like 100-something.
Oh, wow. Impressive.
100 exactly.
Oh, yeah. We could have gone further, but we got to 100 and we were like feeling good. And so we just like chilled. But like, what are the odds?
I know. Well, I was going to say, so neither of you knew that you were going to Ohio on...
No. And it was like our third choice. Like we tried 2 weekends and they were all sold out. So we had to kind of settle for checking in on a Sunday and leaving on a Wednesday. And so we had no idea she was going to be there or that we were going to be there.
Right. But it makes sense because we are kind of off at the same time of the year in terms of morning show. Like we have the same weeks that we can take off. So it's not that big of a shock in terms of timing, but like the hotel is just so random. Like it was so random. I couldn't get over it. So we see Mark, we say hi. And you met Red Star, you met the kids, his parents.
Yep.
And so we say goodbye. We go back to the room to like shower and get ready for dinner. And he comes back into my room and he goes, I cannot believe Mark's here. It's like, I know, it's so crazy.
He was getting the Red Star updates.
Yeah.
He was like, what can I see over here? What's happening with Red Star and Tanya?
It's so wild. Did you not think that was the wildest thing?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Absolutely. And that other people we knew were there. It was all very weird.
It was very weird, but so cute.
Yeah, beyond.
Very cute, very on brand. I felt it was
My kids are big fans of yours. Yeah,
I'm big fans of theirs.
Yeah.
Well, and y'all bonded over the ball bopping game.
The ball bopping, yeah. And Red Star's youngest, like, is still too young to play, but he was like trying to keep score for us. It was cute. Yeah.
Just a lot of family bonding.
Let me tell you something for people who are used to being at the adult pool. The kid pool is like a whole nother world. Like, I've never experienced anything like it.
I don't think I've been to a kid pool in a minute.
I never realized there were kid pools. Well, separate ones at hotels.
I mean, that is kind of a luxury. Like, if you go somewhere where there's an adult pool and a family pool, it's kind of like a luxury experience. So
yeah, and I think whenever I've gone with my niece and my nephew, we go to, I don't know, I have no idea. Because I've gone to the pools with my niece and my nephew before, but I don't know if this one was just totally different, but it was like wild.
Floaties
everywhere. Like all the things that you can jump through, water guns. It was like wild.
If the other pool, if the family pool or whatever kid pool is better, I stay there. Like, I'm not really that, I don't think I'm that affected by like loud kids or anything.
I'm not affected by it either, but I don't know. I think that the hotel is probably very packed.
Oh, so it was
Perhaps. But yeah, there were a lot of screaming kids. I mean, my kids aren't screamers, but there were a lot of screaming kids there.
Yeah.
And the other thing is other kids tend to join. I don't mind that. I kind of like that. Although I did get bit one year by a little girl whose last name was like, I remember her name was like Hamburger or Burger. I forget because it was written all over the floaties that they brought. But anyway, she bit me. They were playing some sort of game and she thought she was pretending to be a dog. I forget exactly. So you're liable to get bit. But we did have some kids join us this year. Thomas and Alessia joined us for the ball bopping game. And that was really nice. They were great kids. And it's kind of fun. But I do see the appeal of the adult only pool.
But what's so funny is I thought all those floaties and stuff were just communal. I thought they were just like in the pool. So I went to go grab one of them to like play with or whatever. And this kid was like, that's mine. And like yanked it from me. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. Like, I felt so bad.
There's something scary about little kids when they're territorial about their toys stuff.
And she was ticked that I took it. I was like, I'm so sorry. Would you like a water gun that I brought?
I was at my sister's and her girlfriend's in Newport. And we were playing, which, this is embarrassing, but we were playing Flip Cup, which I haven't played.
It's
so fun. But like, you know, those are very much like college, that type of time of your life games. Yeah. But we were outside and there was like one team was making a comeback. And so we all celebrated so loud. And then I couldn't see where my sister was, but she stopped playing in the middle of this like really intense game. And we were like, what are you doing? Like screaming at her. And I didn't realize that the neighbor had come over to tell her like she was going to call the cops if we didn't clean up and go inside. And I was so like, I was like, I got to go home. Like my night is done. Like getting in trouble by an older person is still so scary to me. Yeah.
Getting in trouble by a younger one is scarier, let me tell you.
No, I don't know. Like an old angry lady who is ready to call the cops on you is a very intimidating
moment,
no matter how old you are. And so then my sister, she was like, I feel so bad. I feel like I need to send her like some cookies or something tomorrow. And I'm like, we were just getting hyped over Flip Cup. It's okay. She lives in a very like loud place. It's Friday night, you know. But if you want to send her cookies, sure.
That's nice. Yeah. I would have probably done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah. So anyways, felt refreshed. Twas a nice trip.
What's next? I feel like you're just like
jet setting.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is like a jaunt away from LA. I think it's like, how long of a drive is it? An hour and a half, two hours?
From us. From here, it's only about 45 minutes. So
yeah, it was easy. Such an easy little.
Telling you, we have time for your Nancy Spielberg dinner before our guest arrives.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. So This is the cutest thing because I posted this picture of me, Red Star, Nancy Spielberg, and I got a couple scrubbers that messaged me and were like, I'm binging the podcast from the beginning and I'm just now hearing this story of the woman you ran into in the air. I was like, how funny.
Oh, that's cool.
So anyways, I was flying back from New York right before the pandemic hit. It was after the Harry Styles I Heart Music release party. And I sat next to this woman on my flight and she ended up being Jewish. And I was telling her, oh my God, I just started dating this Jewish guy. We just became official. So I was telling her all about him. She was telling me about her faith and her religion and how, you know, all of these things, telling me about her brother and how he ended up marrying this like Christian woman, da, da, da. Cut to, we end up talking the whole flight, 6 hours, right? We land and she's like, you're so cute. I want to send you something. Like, what's your Instagram? Let me friend you, whatever. So we start following each other and her name is Nancy Spielberg. And I was like, are you related to Steven Spielberg? And she's like, yeah, that's my brother. I was like, this is way too funny. So she ends up sending me this newish Jewish encyclopedia, which I used it a lot of like the beginning of Red Star and I, when we started dating, because it has all the traditions and kind of just the fundamentals of the Jewish faith in there. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of kept in touch through Instagram and her mom owned like a kosher deli here in LA. And so she took it over when her mom passed away. And so Nancy reached out to me and she's like, is this the guy that we talked about on the flight? I'd love for you guys to come to the, you know, to the restaurant. It's called the Milky Way and have dinner with me. And so we ended up going and the three of us had like a beautiful dinner and she was a riot. They made this real, the mother passed away. So Steven made this beautiful film like in the walkway of old videos of his mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like all of his movie posters are like in this hallway in there. And it's really cute. And apparently it's like a kosher Jewish staple in LA because people were hitting me up saying they go there all the time. And so she was just like really excited to meet him. She loved him. She called him a mensch, which is a term of endearment. Had to look it up. But they had such a good time.
The newest Jewish.
Yeah. We had 2 bottles of wine and just really had such a great time. And it just felt like one of those like full circle moments of life.
I mean, it is. It's like, how many people do you meet like in life when you're traveling? How often are you having those conversations with people that you're like, okay, I'll never see this person again. You know, like that was a really good conversation or, you know, whatever. I hope I never see them again. But how often do you actually see them again in an intentional way?
Yeah. And I was like laughing so hard because she was telling me all about her brother and his relationship with a Christian woman, or I don't know if she was Christian or Catholic, but not Jewish, you mm-hmm. know? And the fact that her brother, Steven Spielberg, is just so funny. Like, it's just so good.
Oh, that's who she was talking about when she was talking about her brother?
Yeah. I was listening to all these stories. And then it finally came. I was just like, this is way too good.
Who you know is Jessica Capshaw's mom.
I didn't know that until we were at dinner. And I said, Jessica Capshaw is your niece? You know, my podcast is all about Grey's Anatomy. And she was like, no, I didn't know. So I was like showing her all about our podcast and stuff.
Oh, wow.
I guess so. She is the daughter of Steven Spielberg's wife now. But this Jessica Capshaw was her daughter before she married Steven Spielberg. So it's kind of like his stepdaughter.
Yeah, it's his stepdaughter. Yeah.
Oh, you knew that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well-versed and
in the Spielberg
all things,
the trilogy,
just, yeah.
Family tree.
Well, and then, yeah, because then I was, I'm social media friends with his daughter, his youngest daughter, Destry.
Steven Spielberg?
Yeah.
Tell him that I'm friends with his sister Nancy.
I know. I'm gonna connect all these dots and we'll see what we can do with that. Probably nothing, but just say like, isn't that crazy? All the
I just love because she was telling me, because they there was divorce and there's kids involved and then the Jewish and the Chris. So it all kind of was helpful for me in my journey. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was just too good. The food was fantastic. So if you live in LA, the Milky Way.
Yeah, good to know.
Yeah.
Our guest today is someone that I'm actually super...
Speaking of Jewish.
Yeah. we are talking to Batsheva from My Unorthodox Life. And I am so interested in talking to her just because we'll get into her story, but just kind of the element of growing up in a certain faith in a certain way. And then at a certain point, deciding what you want your life to be like. And I feel like in the show, I relate most to her because she's still kind of where I'm at in the show. She's still kind of in the middle of saying, like, I respect my religion. I respect how I was raised, but I disagree with this aspect of it. And I think I was saying earlier before we started the podcast, like, there's so many religion is such a personal and very sensitive topic, and people feel very protective and defensive over it, which I think is a great thing. But also, I think sometimes we invalidate other people's experiences because it doesn't actually match ours perfectly.
Right.
And so we're having her on to kind of discuss her experience and like this TV show and kind of like her life and what it's been like since all of a sudden being thrown into this very public.
But I think TV that a show. Lot of people can relate to it because they came from an Orthodox Jewish family, and her mom broke away from it at the age of four. I mean, the show is just fantastic because at 43, she kind of decides, I want to leave my religion, start my own life, my own career, do my own thing. And now she's like the CEO of Elite Models, mm-hmm. and was the CEO of La Perla. And really, she's like truly a modern woman. It's amazing. But it's funny because I was watching the show and I was like, I can relate because I grew up Serbian Orthodox. Mm-hmm. I chose Christianity for myself in my 20s. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that comes along with that when, you know, it was hard conversations with my parents. And now I'm dating a Jewish man. And like, you know what I mean? It's just kind of all these things that I think a lot of people can relate to, whatever faith mm-hmm. and religion they're in.
Totally. Like, I don't think it's limited to one. Like, I don't think her story is limited to just her religion. I think so many people have probably watched it and really related to it or not. Maybe they watch it and they're like, this is not at all what my experience is. But I am very excited to talk to her just because I watch it and I'm like, I know that confusion of like, do I still believe this, or is it just what I've grown up my whole life believing? So like, there is that kind of middle ground that can be so hard sometimes. And like, her mom was just like, I'm making this decision, I'm done, like kind of just like fully decided she was out of it. So we're going to talk to her in a little bit, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Same.
Hey, I'm Bethany Joy Lenz.
I'm Hillary Burton Morgan.
And I'm Sophia Bush.
And we are doing a virtual event in September in honor of One Tree Hill Day, September 23rd.
OTH Day for the OTH fam. And this podcast family is going to be benefiting Kind Campaign with this event. They work to end bullying in schools, and we just love them.
That's right. The Drama Queens are so excited to hang out with you guys on our very special day. So all the information is going to go up on loopedlive.com. There is more information coming soon.
That's loopedlive.com.
All right. So like we said earlier, we have a very special guest coming into the Scrubbing in OR. Please welcome Batsheva Hart into Scrubbing In.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you. So I started binging My Unorthodox Life a couple of weeks ago, and I really connected with you and your storyline because I grew up in a very, you know, I grew up in the South, so I grew up in a very Christian, conservative lifestyle, and moved out to California probably like 12 years ago, and have kind of been in that place of deciding what I believe for myself and how much I keep from how I grew up and what I believe now as an adult. So I'm really excited to talk to you because I personally connected with you so much on the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to hear that. I feel like a lot of people, like regardless of religious background, mm-hmm. like you can connect to it, and like everyone has like any religion that you come from that's kind of strict. It's the same.
Not even strict, because for me, so I grew up Serbian Orthodox. That's just how I was born and raised. My parents were both from Serbia. I went to a Serbian Orthodox church and schooling my whole childhood. And then as an adult, I started going to Christian church and really found myself in that space. And I remember it was like a really difficult kind of year or two with my parents kind of explaining that I get much more from going to Christian church and this than I did from going to Serbian Orthodox church. And not like I look down on it, mm-hmm. or I, you know, I regret the way I grew up or any of that kind of stuff. But for me, for as an adult, this is what, and so I was watching this and I was just like very, I think a lot of people have these conflicting feelings, and I don't think I appreciated what I did for myself mm-hmm. until I kind of am like seeing it all play and how hard that actually is. And now my parents and I are, you know, it wasn't like it never caused a rift between us, but it was a difficult conversation to have. And now I'm dating a Jewish guy.
Oh,
yeah.
Welcome to the tribe.
And I'm like learning all about the Jewish, you know, religion and traditions. And everybody keeps asking me if I'm going to convert. And, you know, it's like one of those things where I'm like, oh, I don't know where the road's going to take me. But for now, like I really, you know, I like my Christian faith. I like mm-hmm. where I am with it. And he respects that. And he respects that right. about me. And we kind of are doing a hybrid. We celebrate both holidays and traditions. And so it's kind of a beautiful thing, but it's very tricky, the family dynamic.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. Do you feel like, I mean, going from the lifestyle that you grew up in, and now all of a sudden everyone's like watching your life and kind of watching you go through this, like very personal. I mean, mine has been very personal for me of like deciding like what I believe and who I am. And now you're watching it play out on TV and like everyone has an opinion. Like I was on your TikTok the other day and looking at the comments and I'm like, my God, like everyone has an opinion, you know. It's like, was it hard or were you just kind of like you expected it and kind of were prepared, or how are you dealing with it?
I think it was helpful that it wasn't an immediate response. Like we filmed last year, so mm-hmm. I didn't get that immediate feedback. I didn't share anything about my religious journey on my Instagram because I didn't want that feedback. I wasn't interested in hearing other people's input on my life and my choices. I did do a couple of like TikTok storytelling kind mm-hmm. of things, but again, like I just don't look at the comments because I know I'm going to see mixed reviews, and I can protect myself that way. But for the show, like we got really deep, really, you know, down to the nitty gritty. And it definitely, I think, helped knowing that like the next day I wasn't going to get an immediate response. Like mm-hmm. having that time, it felt like it was so long ago. I'm like, oh, I said that. You know? So it's kind of helpful that it's delayed.
I want you to kind of give people listening, if they haven't watched the show, a little bit of background of, you know, you got married at 19. You weren't allowed to, just a little bit of background on your actual faith and the rules that you kind of lived by, you know, you didn't wear pants for so long, and kind of your journey in that and where you are now.
So yeah, I grew up in an ultra-Orthodox Jewish community. So we had super strict modesty rules, like cover your collarbone, your elbow, below your knee. And, you know, like education isn't encouraged. You get married super young. I got married at 19. To my husband, who was 19 also. And, you know, you're expected to have kids right away. And then my mom, right after my husband and I got married, decided to leave the faith. And the show basically follows my life and my family's life now and kind of talks about where we were and where we came from and where we are now. So it's about all about the journey and about a family who learns how to come together with differences in their faith. I feel like that's a good little synopsis.
Yeah. That was great. Keep the people wanting more. Mm-hmm. I found it so interesting how in the part, I'm like still binging it right now, but you kind of are going through this, I don't even want to say conflict, but kind of disagreeing with your husband and talking about like what you want to do and like decisions you want to make about for yourself and about yourself. And he's, from what the show portrays, like he's very supportive of you. Like I think he kind of is fighting what he has been taught his whole life while trying to show you respect and love, like how he can. Has it just gotten like, easier as the time has gone on, or what's the dynamic with like you and his family?
So in terms of like dressing, he's gotten to the point where I just get dressed and he's like, that's what you're wearing. If it's like something little or whatever that I wouldn't have worn before. And I'm like, yep. And he's like, okay. So anything, he just holds it inside. But I think that's like a level of respecting me and my decisions. It's my body. I should be the only one who's making the choices of what I do and do not wear. In terms of his family, we are still very close with them. They're very similar to my dad. Mm-hmm. You know, like they just want us to be happy and they respect us and we respect them. So I think like that's how we keep the relationship strong.
It's so interesting because so like for me, I respect tradition and I think there's something really beautiful about tradition and faith and that. But and again, I know this is, you know, your family's story and one's perspective, and I'm not as familiar with the, you know, Jewish Orthodox, that's mm-hmm. the Orthodox strictness. But when, you know, you guys were sharing that you can't wear revealing clothing or pants, I was just like, if someone tried to tell me that I couldn't wear pants or show my shoulder, I was just getting so fired up. Like I was just, you know what I mean? Like there's no way. I just would never, I can't. But then I also understand that like if I was raised a different way, I don't know. It was such a mind trip for me watching. Like I can't even like verbalize how it was making me feel. Like I think I was feeling like your mom.
Yeah, like I was brought up in that. So like my whole life I had those restrictions. So it was annoying when I was growing up and I was in that community, but I was like, all of my friends are doing it. All the people I associate myself with, my community, everybody I see. But once I, you know, was a little exposed more to the outside world, I was like, I want to wear pants. Like, this is really annoying. Pants are amazing. Love them.
And comfortable.
so comfortable. And also like my whole thing was like, a lot of times they're more modest than wearing a little mini skirt or right. a short dress or something. So like, I remember when my mom started not being modest and in the beginning I would get like, oh my God, what the hell are you wearing? Embarrassed. And whenever she would wear pants, I was like, oh, this is amazing. I love when you wear pants because she wears like the itty bitty stuff. So that was like kind of when I was having a conversation with my husband, I'm like, pants are modest. They cover it all, you know?
Yeah, there's no skin showing.
Yeah, there's no skin showing. It really was just how we were raised mm-hmm. and like the people, we didn't know anyone who had any like religiousness in them and wore pants. It was like, if you wore pants, that means you weren't affiliated at all. And if you didn't, that meant you were religious. So it, like, it was such like a big line in the sand to kind of like hop over that and be like, I'm wearing pants.
That's just like, yeah. So for me, I'm just gonna say it. I don't understand how, like, you know, I don't really wear super sexy things. I think if I was kind of rebelling and I couldn't wear that for so long, I would wear, you know, like plunging necklines and mini skirts, and I would, you know, just because I wanted to.
My mom, yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I'm like, I totally get it. I'd probably feel the same way. But I don't understand how the way that I dress, how that has to do with my relationship with God. You know what I mean? Like as a Christian, the way I live my life and my relationship with God is so removed from the clothes I wear and stuff. It's the person that I am and the way I treat people. So it's like, I can't even wrap my head around it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's how I feel now. I feel like if you're a good person and you respect people and like, that's like, those are like the most important things. And like, I feel like that's what makes you a good person, not like how much covered up you are or the length of your skirt or the length of your sleeve. And these were all things that what I grew up with, that's how people would judge each other.
It's interesting. There's so many extremes in religion. And I think it's, if you don't grow up with any sort of religion, I understand why people are, scared of it in a way, because it's so like you said, there's that line in the sand and it's like, you are either this or you're this, but you can't wear pants and believe the same thing I believe. It's like so backwards right. in my mind, because right. I feel like religion and like how we're supposed to treat people is not about that. And I think so often, like, people, I loved what you said about your husband's parents, about like, it's just a level of respect, like being able to say, hey, this is what I'm doing with my life, and this is what you're doing with your life, and I respect you, even though it's different. And I think people have kind of lost that compassion and like understanding of each other, because if it doesn't align, people are so quick to say something if it doesn't align with how they live their life. And it's like, we're all different.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think like that's something you see in the show, is everyone in my family is at different levels of belief, but we all respect each other. And like, that's what makes us a close family, because we have that respect. And it's like, you live your life how you want to live it, and I'll live mine. And as long as we all come together as a family, that's the most important thing.
Do you feel like, so I've been on a reality show like a long time ago, and I remember like going through the experience and then watching it after it was edited and put together for, you know, an episode, and being like, for the most part, like that's what happened, but they didn't really show everything. Do you feel like your experience being in the community where you grew up, do you feel like it's portrayed accurately, or do you feel like it's like biased towards your family, or biased the other way? Like, how did you feel like once it came out and you saw it all done?
I think like what I tell people is that, and what my mom shares, is she's sharing her personal experience and we're sharing our personal experience. And it's not a blanket statement for everybody in the community that we came from. Mm-hmm. And I think she shares that a lot. Like, this is what she went through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had a different experience growing up. It wasn't as strict as hers. As I was getting older, she was mentally changing her viewpoint on life. Mm-hmm. But everything that was shared was what happened to her.
Right.
So when people write in, they're like, well, it's not like that, I'm like, well, maybe it's not like that for you, but this was what happened to my mom. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I encourage people to watch the full 9 episodes before they make like any judgments on it.
I know. I mean, I was getting heat just from posting a video on my Instagram that I was watching the show. I was getting some nasty messages just from watching it. But you know what? I find it so inspiring what your mom did. What was it, 43 when she left the community? No job.
Yeah, 42. Yeah.
No job.
No education. Five,
how many kids? Four of you. Four kids?
Four
yeah. kids, 43, no education, started her own company, right? And then was like the CEO of La Perla. Now she's the CEO of Elite Models. I mean, it's pretty incredible what she did, just religion aside, just as a woman in the industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, she's amazing. She works her ass off 24/7, and she has her goals and her dreams, and she is going for them.
And yeah. Do you love your stepdad? Is he your stepdad? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like my mom, they got married like 2 years ago, so I feel like I'm not in the stepdad like category, because I don't live at home. I feel like it's like a different kind of, you know, relationship. But yeah, he's into photography, so it's really nice. We can connect in that way. And we all have like our different things. My sister's in technology, and we all have our like, you know, categories of interest. So it was really nice to be able to have that with him.
Yeah, your younger sister is hilarious. And Tanya said she relates more to her because she's a little more like, this is what I'm doing, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I'm living my life for me, not for anyone else.
But she is like balls to the wall. And when she was making out on the couch with her girl, or the girl that she brought over, I was like,
yeah.
I cannot believe this.
Yeah, work party. I was like, at first, I was like, oh my God, people are going to think I'm so mean. And everyone's like, no, like it's normal what you're feeling. She's at a work event with all of her bosses there. Like, yeah. And at my mom's apartment. So like, you can just go to your room.
Yeah. It wasn't like she was somewhere where she couldn't go find privacy, but she reminds me a lot of my youngest sister as well, where it's just kind of like, I don't know if it's kind of that youngest sister mentality and like that age range. Cause how old is she?
20.
She's 21 and I'm 21. 28. So yeah, we have like that. I definitely have that older sister protectiveness.
Yeah. And you're kind of a little more like, you know, reserved. Looking around, making sure everyone's comfortable around you. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. You're so Rebecca and I'm so Miriam, right?
Miriam. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I do want to talk about just like married life, because you got married at 19 mm-hmm. and you guys are obviously still together.
Yeah.
What is that like? And because like, think about it. If you got married, I'm such a different person now than I was at 19, but I do think there is a way to grow with somebody. It really comes down to communication, like growing together.
For sure. Yeah. I think, well, it's definitely different. Like where we grew up, like you're not on your own. You're supported financially, which a lot of people ask about, because like, how can you be, you know, have to pay your own rent and all these things when you're 19 and like just out of high school. But it was definitely challenging. Like I always felt like some people say like as years go by, like it's harder their marriage. And I feel like for us, it's easier because we've like learned how to communicate and when to give each other space and when not to. And just, I think like the biggest thing for us was like letting each other know where we were at, even if we were at different points. But we always had like the same core values. And I think that's what held us together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, when you just said out of high school, that really put it into perspective of how young that is, like, and how, I mean, I do think though in life, we're always changing and growing. So like, no matter what age you get married, I think that you're going to change and have to grow together and like have to communicate and understand each other. It's just like, when you think about being so young, it is kind of jarring to think that you haven't even really gotten to experience so many of life's experiences.
Yeah that's why I didn't want babies.
and so I love that you made that decision for yourself. Like you love your husband and y'all are like making it work and like you're happy there, but also you knew to draw the line at having kids. You're kind of like, I'm not ready for that.
No, and that's what I always say. I'm like, I did the married thing young, so I don't want to do the kids thing young. I want to be able to like enjoy. And I feel like I just like got to the point where I'm like very content in where I am in my life. So I feel like I want to take advantage of this time and like knowing who I am and enjoy that before I bring in a human being.
I know, but I'm sure like, okay. I just feel like I can't, just the DMs that I get, I can't imagine people probably have an opinion of everything that you've done, especially like getting married at 19. Are people like, how do you, cause you've only slept with your husband, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do people have like comments about that? Like, how do you know?
I actually like just posted, I'm going to do a YouTube Q&A. So I was looking through and like some people were asking about that. I feel like because I don't know anything else, like I can't like answer it in a good way. Like this is what I know. So I feel like it's cool to be able to like be with that one person and feel like that connectiveness to them and like grow together. Yeah.
When you're in love, it's like the sex can't be bad when you're in love with somebody. Mm-hmm. Like it just can't.
Yeah. Thank God for chemistry.
Yeah, right.
I do. And it's always interesting because like people, when they do something different from someone else, they have an opinion of like, you can't possibly be happy with that. And it's like, just because you haven't been able to find happiness with yourself doesn't mean that someone else hasn't been able to find happiness with one person. Like that's a beautiful thing that a lot of people don't get, you know, like a lot of people can't say that. And right. I think I just am like a big fan of you and think that what your family has done is very brave, especially from my perspective, because I know how opinionated people are. And when it comes to religion and culture, it's such a sensitive personal topic. And I think you're probably helping a lot of people feel like themselves. So
yeah, and I feel like a lot of the messages I got were like, we haven't, you either see like ultra religious people or unaffiliated people on TV, and you never kind of see anybody who's like mixing it in a little bit. So I feel like we're in a good place in order to share that part. And like when Ben and I were talking about doing the show and like sharing all this religious stuff, we're like, we're bringing that perspective to the table, because like you have my mom and my sister who aren't affiliated. I mean, not affiliated. They, you know, believe in God in their own way. And then you have my brother who's like much more religious, and Ben and I are kind of like finding ourselves in the religion, but we still respect it a lot. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something that isn't portrayed as much on TV.
No, for sure. Yeah. And I think Becca hit the nail on the head when she said, I think a lot of people can find a lot of like solidarity with you, or like with not necessarily just you, but like each person, yeah, particularly in your family, because you're all on your own journey. And these are very sensitive topics that a lot of people are scared to talk about. But I'm sure a lot of people that watch it can connect and be like, dang, like this is how I've felt and this is how I feel, and feel less alone. So I give you a lot of props, because it was like, I can't remember which one, but I think it was like when your mom was writing the book and she talked about your guys' first sexual experience. And I'm like, all that is very, it's very personal, mm-hmm, you know? And yeah, like, it's, but I think a lot of people can really relate to it. So
yeah, that was kind of, thank you. Yeah, that was kind of like our thought process on what we're sharing. We're like, is a sharing this going to help people? Like, are people going to be able to learn or be inspired by this experience? And like, if not, like the thing I asked my mom to take out of the book, I'm like, nobody's learning from this. These are personal details that nobody needs to know. But the actual like uncomfortableness or us not knowing what to do, I'm like, people can relate to that. Like that's, mm-hmm, that was like an experience that, even though it's like very private to share, we felt like we could help people by sharing it.
I think a lot of times when we're scared of something, it's normally something that could really help someone. And I think it's being able to say, like, even if this does not feel safe for me, like, if even though it's scary to share, like, it could be so beneficial for other people. So I really applaud you. It's not easy, and it's not easy doing it. It's not easy doing it in general. It's really not easy to do it in such a public way. So I'm just grateful that your family was, you know, willing to be open, because y'all could have just done it and been like, yeah, we kind of brushed over the challenges of it to make this reality show. And you've kind of gone into the complications, like you said, of everyone kind of being in a different place. So it's
And very I also good. Really enjoyed your marriage kind of scuttles, because I think a lot of people have those, and not necessarily specifically what you guys were dealing with, but you know, yeah, he wants to have babies now and you wanted to wait. So you compromise and you checked your fertility. Both of you checked your fertility. And like, I thought that was so beautiful. You know, it's like you see conflict resolution, mm-hmm, and yeah, same with you wearing pants. Like it was a conflict, but he said, just give me some time, and you gave him some time. And like, I don't know. I just think it's a beautiful thing to see people in a marriage show that they disagree and they have different opinions about things, but you can compromise and come to an agreement. Because I think a lot of the time, you know, especially on social media, you just see people posting, yeah, like photos making out, and you don't, nobody shares the tough parts, mm-hmm, but relationships require work, you know? So really applaud you and your husband, Ben, yeah, because I think, you know, I think a lot of people could say, you know, that he could come off looking, you know, like, oh, I don't want my wife to wear pants. But I could tell, you know, even me, like I'm somebody that's like, no one's going to tell me what to wear. But I could even see internally, like he loves you so much and he grew up a certain way. And so he's trying, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, I could see that battle internally with him. So I just want to applaud you guys, 'cause I thought it was just really well done.
Thank you. Yeah. They were all, yeah, like real conversations that we've had. Like people are like, oh, is it scripted? Do they tell you what to say? And I'm like, no, like these are all like, I think what the show felt real because we were having real conversations that we actually have, and they, mm-hmm, weren't like made up drama.
Yeah. Okay. So part of our show every week, we get emails from our listeners. They write in and then we kind of offer our advice.
Which, oh yeah. Wait, before we get into that, can you just tell us, like, is there a season 2 coming?
I cannot say yet. But
it has to though, right? Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would hope so. If Netflix was listening, season 2, please.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way.
I think it's.
But so, because I haven't finished the series, but what can you tell us as far as like where everything stands right now? You're wearing pants.
Oh, where I am? Oh, yeah. Yes. I'm wearing I'm wearing a sleeveless. This is something new this year. Very exciting. So I feel like now I've come to like, I wear whatever I want now. There isn't any like more hurdles. Cause when I was looking back, I remember when we were filming and I like came in with that like open, mm-hmm. like it was literally, I think just like a little bit of my shoulder was exposed. And I'm like, oh no, he's not gonna like this. I remember the producer being like, nobody's gonna understand that this is a big deal for you. And I'm like, well, it is a big deal. And so like, I've really come a long way because it's also a different change for me. Mm-hmm. But besides for that, still doing content creation, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, check me out.
You're so cute.
I know, you're so cute.
Thank you.
I love your style.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have an email from Abigail, and then Mark, one of our producers, he normally reads our emails, and then we'll just kind of help, you know, we just give our advice on, give our opinion, whatever.
Love it.
All right, Abigail says, here's a little backstory. I grew up in a strict religious Christian environment. My parents got married at 18. I was taught that our purpose on earth as women was to find a man to provide for you and have lots of babies together. Education beyond high school was not encouraged for women. I followed my parents' example, got married young, and had children right away. I had no aspirations beyond being the best wife and mother I could be. Fast forward to age 23. My abusive husband left me. I was completely lost. I had little work experience and no college education, but had to find a way to provide for my two kids. I'm now 28 years old, and I've been slowly going to college over the past 5 years, and I'm supposed to graduate with my bachelor's degree in December. However, now I'm questioning if I should return to school to become a nurse. Becoming a labor and delivery nurse has always been on my dream list, but I still don't think I'm as passionate about it as some are. Should I pursue nursing school? Should I pursue something even if I'm not 100% sure?
Ooh. Wow, well, she sounds like a warrior.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God, I'm so sorry that you went through that.
I know, I'm also sorry that that's a lot for someone to go through at age 23.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. And get married at 18. I relate to the whole beginning part of it.
Yeah. I know. I was going to say it almost sounded just like
it
your story at the beginning.
Similar, yeah.
You know, I would say committing to something, I've never been to, I didn't finish college. I went for 1 year. But the commitment alone to school, going back to school, I think is a very big commitment. And I think needing to be very passionate about what you want to do is a very big part of that, because it's a lot of money and time and energy. So I personally would say don't like look into it, continue to research it, find what you love about it and see if it's something that really you think would fuel you, because it's a big commitment if you're not.
Yeah. 100%. But I think what she's not, is it anonymous or was Abigail?
Abigail.
I think what Abigail has learned is a lesson that I think everybody can learn from. And that's always to be able to rely on yourself. Never let somebody like you're, having a job, being able to live on your own is so important, even mm-hmm. in a relationship, marriage, etc. And I think that, you know, a nursing profession is a beautiful profession, and mm-hmm. I think it's never going anywhere. Like, we're always going to need nurses. There's hospitals everywhere you mm-hmm. can work. There's doctor's offices all over. So I feel like if you were to move, you could still be, and I obviously did not go to nursing school, so I don't know the technicalities, but I feel like if you were ever wanting to move to a different state, this is something that this is a career that you can have for the rest of your life. And I think it's a wonderful investment. And if it's something that you're really passionate about, I think it's a win-win and something that you can rely on for the rest of your life for a stable career.
Yeah, I feel I'm still a student here. I have 5 more classes until I graduate with my bachelor's degree. I'm 28 also. And I feel like for me, it's like having the goal, because education wasn't pushed where I came mm-hmm. from. So I feel like even though I don't need the degree for what I'm doing right now, I still want it. Mm-hmm. And I've also done so many different careers in my 28 years. So I'm very pro like being open to new things and not feeling like you're tied down to something just because you went to school for it, or this is what you always thought you wanted to do. So I feel like be open to the possibilities and look into it, and don't be afraid to like change your mind.
Yeah. I also think, judging from what she said, and I guess you can also relate to this, is that you are almost, it makes it seem like was basically told not to dream, not to have passions to pursue on her own. So I would imagine it's hard to even know what that looks like for you. Like, what is something that you're passionate, that you want to go after, feel like when you've been told that that's not your role and that your only role is to be a mom and a wife? It's like, how do you know how to dream or pursue something when you've been discouraged from doing that?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think it's hard.
I agree, though. I think, what's your famous quote? Be open to
the possibility, not attached to the outcome.
Yeah. So I think if you've always thought that being a labor and delivery nurse is something that would really fulfill you and give you purpose, then I say go for it. And if you're in the middle of it and you're like, I know for sure this is not something I want to do anymore, that's okay.
Yeah.
We change, exactly. We grow.
Yeah. I remember I went to culinary school, cosmetology school. I worked in a salon. I did accessories design. And now I'm doing like direct and interactive marketing. So I've done a bunch of things. And I remember at one point someone's like, oh, what are you doing now? And I'm like, I'm finding my happiness. What are you doing? You know, I think it's easy for people to judge and like to feel like you can't change your mind because of what people are going to say, or that you can't stick to one career, but you're young. 28 is so young. Like, be open to trying what your dreams are. Like, don't let anyone shut that down.
I
just think there's no question in my mind that Abigail said 100% go be a labor and delivery nurse. I don't think there's any looking into it. I think you've got to do this because you sat down and wrote this email to us. So this is weighing on you. The reason you're not passionate about it is because what Becca just said, you were raised to not be passionate about things. Mm-hmm. This is your dream. And 20 years from now, imagine Abigail in 2041. Will she ever regret going to school to become a labor and delivery nurse? Never. But you will absolutely regret not doing that. Mm-hmm. So I say there's no question.
Yeah,
there you go.
And life is, I was thinking about this past week. The people who are so quick to judge people's decisions and how they live their lives are the people who are most likely not happy with their life.
It's so true.
It's so easy to say, like, why are you changing that? Why are you doing something different? Why don't you just be still? Because they're still, you know, like, they're not moving forward. They're not growing. So I think it's really important to remember where a lot of that criticism and negativity comes from is from people who are doing less than you.
Or are unhappy themselves.
Yeah, or unhappy themselves. So, Abigail, I say go for it.
Yeah, so true. Oh,
yeah. Haters gonna hate.
Thank you so much for scrubbing in today. And
I know this was such a treat. Literally, you're so cute. So when I started watching the show, I was like, this girl is so cute. And then I went to your Instagram and I was just like, oh,
I know.
Just love it.
Thank you guys. I feel really special to be on and to be able to give advice. Oh my God, it's a big job.
I know.
If you're ever in LA, you live in New York, right?
Yeah.
If you're ever in LA, hit us up. We love to get drinks.
Will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love that. That would be amazing.
I know. Yes, please. Will you let everyone know where they can follow you and keep up with you and watch you?
Yeah. So you can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all Butch of a Heart, same name across all platforms.
Makes it so easy. And you can watch My Unorthodox Life on Netflix. Every episode is available so you can binge. And
yeah, I might hit you up on the side just for some, like, you know,
definitely
tips and tricks, Jewish, you know, Jewish tips and tricks.
Yes. Anything you need, let me know.
Our very first, I think it was the holiday. Was it Passover?
Passover.
No. Where you have
spring.
The boiled egg and the like.
Yeah.
On the plate, what's the plate called that you put in?
Ka'ara.
Is it
Ka'ara. It's like it's this big plate, and you have like the egg and the lettuce.
Yes,
and
yeah.
The bone.
Yeah, the bone. Okay, so it was my first Passover with my boyfriend, and it was right after lockdown, so I wasn't even going to the grocery store at this time, and I'm reading my newest Jewish encyclopedia of like what I need on this plate for him, and it's like. this chicken bone. I had one of my neighbors give me some, like, I don't really eat chicken. So she gave me like this old chewed chicken bone I put on there. And there was like some sort of jam. So I squeezed. I mean, the things I used for this plate the first year of us dating was so funny. But he was so appreciative because I like put the effort
in.
Yeah, like,
that is really nice of you.
Yeah. And then he did an Easter egg hunt around my place. But he's never celebrated Easter. So he like wrote clues, like pieces of paper with clues of like where to look for the Easter eggs. And I was like, that's not how it works. But it was so cute because he's never done one before.
Oh my God. That sounds like so much fun. Do you do like a Hanukkah bush or anything like that?
Yeah, we celebrated Hanukkah. We celebrated Hanukkah and Christmas. So we did Christmas. The 8 days, and he's decorated my Christmas tree with me. And then I lit the
menorah.
Yes, I got a menorah, so here we are.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Thank you so much for being here, and seriously, if you're in LA, like, let us know.
Yeah, I'm gonna take you guys up on that offer. Okay,
for sure. Yeah.
All right, so nice meeting you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you. Have a good night.
Bye. You too.
Bye.
Hey, sucky daters, this is Dean.
And this is Jared.
And this week, we have Kaylin and Ashley come on our podcast and tell us what they absolutely hate most about us. Be sure to listen to our podcast, Help I Suck at Dating, right now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere you listen to podcasts.
I think she's just such a... I obviously am very sensitive to my personal journey and like religion, and I know what's really important to me and what I value, but sometimes it's hard. Like, people have such a strong opinion on it. And
for sure,
I posted today that Kacey Musgraves song, Follow Your Arrow, and it's such a great example of what it's like to be alive. Like, no matter what you do, there's someone who's gonna have an opinion and think that you're wrong or not doing it the right way. And she says, like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And it's just the truest statement of life.
It's because... so true. But you know what's so funny is, like, I don't care.
I know.
Like,
I'm
working
on that.
People hit me
that,
up
but...
and they're like, how can you like the Zodiac? And it's like, so not, you know, like the Christian
thing. Are they
surfer
dudes?
Yeah,
surfer
they're
bros?
All surfers in my DMs. And I'm like... I love the Zodiac. I think it's fun. I relate to my sign and I think it's fun. I love Jesus, and my relationship with God is not contingent on my horoscope reading. Like, I don't know. I mean, that's a small example of just kind of what
the surfer bros on the DMs.
Yeah. But yeah, everybody has an opinion about something, and it's just like, whatever. You write your... My therapist told me something that I found really interesting. She's just like, you write your own story. Nothing's right and nothing's wrong. It's your life.
Yeah. I'm really working on that. It's very hard for me.
Yeah.
I really like kind of, I was talking to Tanya. I was like, you're so good at just being like, so what? And I'm like, so what? People don't like me. People don't agree with me. And it's like, why do I always think like, why do I get so caught up in what someone who literally doesn't, like, they know me to an extent from the podcast and from social media and I guess watching The Bachelor, but like, they don't know me. They haven't cultivated a relationship with me. So why do I hold their opinion to such a high place in my mind?
Yeah, I don't know.
But my aunt did say, she goes, that's kind of part of your compassion and empathy towards people, because you know how it feels. Like, you know what it feels like to be hurt. So it gives you, maybe it's part of your, how you treat other people. And I'm like, well, I'm freaking tired of it.
I think it's different. Like, obviously when I was going through all this stuff with, you know, religion and choosing Christianity, I think those were tough conversations to have with my parents, because I felt like there was a part of me, I felt like I was letting them down, and that was hard.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, people that are in your life, disappointing those people is not the same.
Correct.
That's different.
So that's hard for me. And that is a process, and it gets me down, and I have to work through, and I have to, you know, but for people that don't know me and they're just like smacking their, like, I'm like, bye.
What are they smacking?
Oh. Don't eat it.
Well,
thank
it's
you.
Also this desire that you have to make everyone happy, and that's impossible. There's no chance that when you get to a certain level that everyone's going to love you everything you do.
But why do I think that, like, it almost makes me feel like I'm this, like, narcissistic person that I think that I have the ability to make everyone happy.
It's not narcissistic. I think it's the opposite. I think you just want everybody to like you. And yeah. I think everybody does.
But, well, that's my therapist also said. She said people who say that they don't care what people think of them are lying.
Yeah.
She was like, but some people are able to just kind of, like, let it roll off their back. She was like, you really take it to heart.
Yeah. Like, I want everybody to like me. I don't want people not to like me.
Yeah, but you're fine if they don't. Like, you've accepted, like,
yeah, if they don't, then they don't. Because I do think it's also such a, for me, thank God, the people that send love and encouragement is like 90% and the negative is like 10. So it's easier to kind of let it roll off. If it was a lot more the other way, I think I'd be in a downward spiral.
I don't really feel like I get the same amount of like love in my DMs that you get. So I think when I see the bad ones, I'm kind of like, those really stand out. Cause I'm like, they like leap off the screen. But there's, you know, there's an option. It's sad because there is an option to where you can turn your DMs off and like people can't DM you. But then it's like I lose the connection with the people that I
love
to talk to.
Oh, I love reading my DMs.
That's what I'm saying though. Yours are, I bet, a lot nicer than mine. But I feel like it's there. Social media does have that. The connecting with other people is really beautiful. And also it opens you up to so much like negativity about yourself that you're like, am I that way? You know, it's kind of a double, I was saying the other day, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. But I do think it's really, I think you're going to get to that point and it's going to be really empowering for you because I think that, you know, religion can be very, what's the word? Polarizing or very, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
like
totally.
You do this and, or you do that and you're wrong. And I don't believe that. And I'm a Christian and.
You know, everyone has their own path. I think I would like for everyone listening to this to remember that and, you know, use your words in a way that are giving life as opposed to the opposite.
Yeah. I have to tell you something though.
Okay. What?
You still can't taste or smell.
No, what?
Your breath smells so bad.
Oh my God.
This whole time I've been like. No, not rude. Not rude.
That makes sense. I wouldn't have thought of that being a side effect. But yeah, you can sense it when you stink. But if you don't have those
abilities. Well, I've just like had gum in my mouth, but I can't chew gum on the podcast.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just making sure that you know, just for future.
Well, I haven't really seen anyone.
Right. That's fine. You can drink that water up. We're nice and nice. Mm.
I never tell her when her breath stinks.
What is my breath stink?
Almost every time I see you.
That's gross. I don't have halitosis.
I don't know what you have, but like, I don't.
If my breath
kissing
smells
you.
Every time you see me, that's
it's
a
not
lot.
Like horrible. It's just like stale.
That's gross. And you don't ever tell me.
Well, you should be able to sense it. I don't have taste or smell, so I can't sense it.
That is so, you are that person. It's actually so funny. So we were at dinner last night. It was at Brad's birthday dinner, and I had this like gnarly green thing in my tooth. And Brad was like, oh my gosh, you need to get that out. And I was like, you know what? I had this gnarly flaxseed in my tooth for an entire interview one day, and Becca didn't even tell me.
I didn't?
No, I went on Instagram, posted a video, and saw it in my Instagram. And I was like, I was just with Becca for 3 hours, and she didn't tell me I had this giant chia seed in my tooth.
I'm putting gum in. My worst fear is having like any sort of odor to me, so I'm like, this is triggering.
My worst fear is one of you guys chewing gum throughout a podcast.
Well, so I'm just gonna podcast chew it.
Over
thank God.
That's why I waited till the end to tell her, because I knew she was gonna be.
No, I didn't end the podcast.
Well, no, we're still doing the podcast. I'm just saying I waited till the end to tell you.
Becca was coming over here today going, oh, I got to go see Tanya. Thank God I can't smell today.
I know.
It's not
offended.
So bad.
I'm texting Red Star and asking if my breath smells every day.
It's not like you said mine's like really bad, but that's just because like I have no awareness.
Yours is not bad. It's just stale is gross.
Not always the freshest, but what I'm sure mine has not smelled good before.
Yeah, I don't brush my teeth like four times a day, so it's not minty fresh.
That's
okay. So let's just put some mints in a little bowl right between those two microphones.
No, you guys know we need
a mint before we track every week.
We need that those Listerine strips.
Fine.
That they put on, they give you on The Bachelor.
Oh, he's typing.
Wow, attentive boyfriend.
He's very attentive. And if he like, if I FaceTime him in the middle of the day and he's in a meeting, or he'll just like hit me back and be like, in a meeting, then kiss. He said, LOL, what? That means no, right?
What'd you ask?
I said, does my breath smell every day?
And he said, what? That doesn't mean no?
He said, LOL, what? Question mark.
He's buying time. He's got to come up with an answer.
He's like, how do I do this respectfully?
Does my breath smell bad a lot of the time? You're probably so confused.
Does my breath smell right now?
No, nice and fresh.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I would have put gum in before. I can put it on the top of my...
He says no sometime.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm going to have to tell 95P. Why do you ask?
Why doesn't he tell me that my breath smells? Do I have halitosis?
It's not. I swear it's not. Every time I see
I dated a guy that had halitosis.
It's not and halitosis. So
I'm very, like, I'm triggered by all of this right now.
It's not halitosis.
Sometimes.
I appreciate his honesty. He's a good
man.
Yeah,
I'm a little shocked he went there.
Yeah, the answer is no. Your breath smells like roses and daisies, Angel.
95P is like rarely do like I feel like I'm always really cautious of it, but we are respectful towards each other.
I am too. Like the minute I have really bad breath in the morning when I wake up in the morning, like what? I have really bad breath in the morning, like very, very bad. And so when I wake up, oh, he's FaceTiming me. Hang on. I have really bad breath in the morning. So I wake up and I go and I brush.
Okay. This is what happened.
Hold on, we're still recording the podcast. Can I put you on?
On the podcast?
Yeah. My
bad breath.
Does it smell bad a lot
no,
of the time?
No, hold on. Let me intro why we're talking about this. Okay. So Red Star, I can't taste or smell from COVID. And so Tanya just looks at me and goes, I just have to tell you, your breath smells so bad. I know you can't taste or smell. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry. Like, I can't, you know, like, I rarely ever, I always have gum. So like it's never bad, but Mark would like scream at me if I chewed gum. So I was like, I never say that to you, like when your breath smells. And she goes, well, when does my breath smell? And I'm like, well, you know, like most of the time when I see you, because you've been talking.
Most of the time.
Well, that's.
Breath smells most of the time. Your breath smells occasionally just like anybody.
No.
Okay.
I was trying to say thank because you. She talks all day and it sometimes just smells a little stale. I wasn't saying she has like halitosis or anything.
Do you think I have halitosis?
She's not saying you have halitosis, but yeah. I know what she means. Sometimes, yeah, it does. But it's like, but it's normal. I don't think it's unusual is my point. That's why I'm laughing so much.
Does his breath ever smell?
No, your breath never smells. Unless, except for...
Of course my breath smells sometimes.
No, just in the morning.
Well, morning doesn't count.
Yeah, morning does not count.
Okay. You know, I'm done with both of you. We need to finish the podcast.
Okay.
This went from Becca having...
Wait, just to be clear, when you say it, does your breath smell? Occasionally it smells stale, like she's saying. Not like bad.
No, she's... She was basically like, your breath smells so bad. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm aware normally, but I can't taste or smell anything. So I just put in gum whenever I can because I can't, I don't know. And she goes, and I'm like, I can't chew gum on the podcast. So then she triggered me. And so I just was trying to say, like, that was kind of rude. I never say that to you. And she's like, well, when does my breath smell? I'm like, sometimes it just smells stale.
Yeah, no, that's not true, but it's not.
Okay, we're done here. This really took a turn. This really took a turn. I love you. I'll call you later.
Bye.
Bye. This really took a turn. You know, I was ready to wrap up the podcast, just tell you your breath smells, so in case you're going somewhere after, you'd pop in a breath
mint. I'm not going anywhere.
And now it turned into I'm now going to be obsessively obsessed with brushing my teeth all
I
the
think
time.
We get Listerine
and
breast
my boyfriend
stress.
Says my breath is smells stale,
but he said it's normal. He wasn't acting like he was concerned about it.
I like that stale is the unanimous yeah. choice of adjective.
Like you like fully agreed with like, oh yeah, yeah, I've smelled that before.
Wow. All right,
well, good to know. So I will not be not using mints or gum when I go anywhere. I'm in talk. Luckily, I haven't really talked to anyone,
yeah,
or seen anyone in person. So I'm like questioning.
Moral of the
everything.
Story is that I'm a good friend and I tell her when her breath smells, and I don't get the courtesy back.
I can do that to you. I just,
yeah.
Do you want me to just? We'll keep the strips here, and I'll just,
yeah,
subtly hand it to you.
I'm gonna keep some Altoids in my pocket. That's the, yeah. All right.
What an unexpected turn at the end of the podcast. Yeah.
Anybody that hangs on till the end, this was a real treat. I always love getting like reading the DMs from scrubbers that really listen to like every minute of the podcast, because I can tell because they'll reference something that we say right at the very end. And I'm like, wow, they really made it all the way through.
Also, if you're listening and you have the lack of taste or smell, your breath probably stinks. So
yeah, PSA.
PSA for everybody.
Spoiler alert.
It's a weird thing. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. I hope that you all have a great week, and we will see you next Monday.
That's
we won't
right.
see you, but we'll be here.
Yep. Love you. Bye.
Bye.